Chapter 15. Unlock the power of your influence. I almost feel like this chapter needs a theme song. You know that song by Montel Jordan and Wino? This is how you do it. I'm a terrible singer. No, seriously, this is how you do it. Because when you stop trying to pressure people to change and let them, something magical happens. You now have the time and energy to unlock the power of your positive influence. You can tap into the science, and you're going to just love this. People are social creatures that are highly influenced and inspired by the people around them. And this has been proven over and over by decades of research on human behavior. This is why when you see someone online gushing about a protein powder or a new style of jeans or a pro golfer holding up a club that improved their golf game, you suddenly feel yourself wanting to buy it. If you see something working positively for someone else, it often makes you feel interested in it too. Whether you realize it's happening or not, when someone else is either having a lot of fun or getting the results that you want or making something look easy and pleasurable, you're hardwired to move toward it. It's why when you hear a friend raving about a book, you naturally want to read it. I'll give you an example. If someone starts eating a crisp red apple on the train, research shows people around the person eating the apple start craving an apple too. If a coworker suddenly starts taking a walk outside at lunch every day, you're more likely to suddenly feel like going for a walk at lunch too. The reason why your influence works is backed by decades of research on human behavior. You and I are social creatures. We are highly influenced and inspired by the people around us, especially when they're having fun. Dr. Sherritt calls it social contagion, which is a fancy way to say that people's behavior is contagious. Now, using this with people in your life is very simple. You're going to model the behavior change you want to see. That means walk the talk you've been asking for. If you have any shot at influencing someone else to move toward the behavior or change you want them to make, you have to show them how easy it is. Let me give you a few examples. You can't ask someone else to eat healthier while you're raving about the croissant you just ate, but you can influence them if you're always eating healthy meals yourself and then raving about how good it tastes and how great you feel. Here's another example. You can't ask someone else to stop looking at their phone when you've got your phone in your hand, but you can influence them by keeping your phone in a different room and modeling better boundaries with your devices. Model the behavior you want to see. And what I love about this research is that it's a sneaky way to get someone else to change and believe it was their idea. So I want to take the example of the coworker who goes on a walk every day and really unpack this for you so you understand how the science of influence works in someone else's brain. If you see someone else do that every day for a few weeks, their behavior starts to influence you subconsciously. Just imagine you're sitting at your desk, tap, 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 tap. You're emailing away during your lunch break. You're shoving a sandwich in your mouth as you work, 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 work. And then you watch them stand up from their desk, leave every day at lunch. You then watch them come back after their walk. They're in a better mood. They seem to have more energy. They're smiling. And then you see it happen again the next day. And as they walk out the door, and you're sitting at your desk, shoving a sandwich in your mouth again and working again through your lunch break. And then a half an hour later, they walk back in and again, they look refreshed. They looked energized. They look happy. Their example influences you, even though you're not consciously thinking about it. And guess what happens if you see this over and over and over again? All of a sudden, one day, might be a couple months from now, might be a week from now, you're going to look up from your computer and you're going to look outside. You'll see it's a beautiful day. And suddenly, you feel like going for a walk during your lunch break instead of working through lunch like you usually do. Now, here's what I love about this example and the power of influence. As you head out the door for your walk, you think this was your idea. Nope. It was the influence of your coworker working its magic on your brain. And they weren't even trying to do it. They were just going for a walk and enjoying it. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's the power of your influence. And you can use this research to inspire anyone in your life to change. Here's how. First, let them. Let them be. Stop pressuring them to change. Accept that you cannot control their behavior or their actions, because adults only do what they feel like doing, and your job is to accept them for who they are and for where they are in life. Let them be. Then, let me. Use your influence. Because that's where your power is. And that means focus on what you can control, your behavior. Model change and make it look fun and easy. Dr. Sherritt's research shows that your influence is highly effective, but it requires a lot of patience because it will take time for your positive influence to take effect in someone else's brain. So you're going to need to say, let them, a lot, as you focus on your own behavior and your attitude about it. It's so important to do this without the expectation that this other person will ever change. And the reason why you have to give up your expectations is that if you do this expecting them to change, you're going to start to resent them again when they don't. And that just creates more of the same pressure. So focus on yourself. Model the behavior and the positive attitude and how easy and fun this is, just because it works for you. And hold out the hope that the magic of your influence will work on them. But be prepared to give it 6 months or more. I know what you're thinking. 6 months? Yes, 6 months. It could absolutely take 6 months or more of you going to the gym, making it look fun and easy, before the other person in your life suddenly feels motivated to exercise for themselves. If you don't want to wait that long, or if you're already in a very frustrating standoff with someone that you love, it's time for advanced techniques in the science of influence. And that means it's time to sit down and have a conversation. And this isn't just any old conversation. I'm about to teach you a science-backed method that you're going to follow that's used by medical professionals in clinical settings that will disappear the tension and create space for change. And the technique that you're going to use is something that I call the ABC loop. Now, the ABC loop is a tool that I created based on all the research that I've done and combined the best of what the experts say will work, and I've put it all into a very simple formula that you can follow with absolutely anyone in your life. The ABC loop begins with a conversation that follows a proven scientific technique. And this conversation that you're going to have with the person that you love is very different from any of the conversations that you've had about the issue that's bothering you in the past. In the ABC loop, there are three steps. A stands for apologize, then ask open-ended questions. B is back off, then observe their behavior. C, celebrate progress while you continue to model the change. I will walk you through each of these three steps one by one and show you exactly what to do. And then I'm going to explain with science and the Let Them theory why this works. But first, if you want to use this advanced technique on someone else, you got to be willing to do a little preparation before you even sit down with them. Because if this issue has been around for a while and between the two of you, you definitely have some pent-up frustration and emotion about it, and that's part of the problem. And that's created a standoff. So I want you to first get clear about why this bothers you so much. And to do that, you're going to use another research-backed technique that is going to give you instant clarity. And that will help the ABC loop conversation go way better. Before you have the conversation, you need to get very clear about what exactly is making you so annoyed. And why do you want them to change? Now, this is important because before you can be honest with someone else, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. And here's how you can get to the truth with yourself. Just grab a blank piece of paper or crack open a journal or get out your notes app, because I'm going to walk you through a proven technique called the 5 Whys method. And the idea here in this prep work is to rise above your emotions and dig deep to get to the truth about why this bothers you so much. The 5 Whys method was created by Sakichi Toyota, an inventor and founder in the Toyota family companies, as a way to help engineers uncover the root cause of a particular problem. And it's now taught in business schools and engineering programs around the world. The 5 Whys method is a formula that I use in my life. I use it in my business. I use it in my marriage. I use it whenever I want to get unstuck and gain profound insights whenever I've faced a problem that I just can't seem to solve. And in this method, it's really simple. You're just going to ask yourself why 5 total times until you feel like you've gotten to a much deeper answer as to why this bothers you so much. And here's how you use the 5 Whys method. Ask yourself, why does this person's behavior or this situation bother me so much? And then think about it and write or say your answer. And then ask it again. Why? And then ask it again. Why? And then ask again. Why does that bother you? And then a final time. Why does that bother you? Here's an example of how it could look in the situation with my friend who's upset about her husband's health. When she sits down and does this prep work and she asks herself, why does this situation bother me? She might say, it bothers me because he doesn't seem to care about his health. Why? He's modeling unhealthy habits for our kids. Why does that bother you? Well, it's like he's ignoring everything important for an extra beer, 15 minutes longer on the TV, or an ice cream, and it's making him unattractive. Well, why does that bother you? Well, he's the love of my life, and I think he's being selfish. I don't want him to have a heart attack when he could just get off the couch and exercise. Why does that bother you? Well, I'm terrified that I'm going to lose him before I have to. See how that works? So simple. And 5 Whys later, this issue that you're frustrated with, it's a lot deeper than just being mad at someone. And in the case of my friend, that's exactly why it's stressing her out so much. And here's what else you need to know. Your answers, when you ask yourself why 5 times, they're going to be deeply personal to you. Give yourself permission to get to the root cause, even if you discover something ugly about yourself. Having done this exercise with thousands of people, one theme that comes up a lot that is very hard to see in yourself is judgment of the other person and how their behavior reflects badly on you, or so you think. For example, you might ask yourself the 5 Whys and conclude that the real reason you're upset about someone's drinking is because you're embarrassed to have a son with a drinking problem, or you're ashamed to be married to someone who's not successful. Whatever you learn using the 5 Whys method, it's personal to you, and you do not have to share what you learn with the other person. You can if you think it will help you apologize for pressuring them, but this is about you getting to the root cause of your frustration. And it will always, I promise you, have to do with how their behavior is making you feel a loss of control. So allow yourself to be honest. When you see that it's been about you all along and your need to control, it is so much easier to drop the pressure and let them be. And that puts you into a grounded place as you go and sit down with this person that you care about and you have a conversation following my ABC loop method. You've done all this preparation to set up the conversation properly, so you're ready. It's going to be amazing. But you got to understand the context. This is not a conversation that you're going to have with alcohol. You can't have time pressure to finish it. Definitely do not be doing this over the phone or over text or in some random place. The point of this is to connect at a deeper level, to remove all the tension and emotion between the two of you, and to create space for transformation and connection. And the point isn't for you to be right. The point isn't for you to rush through it. The point is for you to communicate in a manner that's going to neutralize the tension between the two of you and create space for positive change. My favorite place to have the ABC loop conversation, honestly, it's going to sound a little weird, but I like to do it in the car because you're both there. There's no alcohol involved. And there's something about just kind of staring ahead at the open road that I find makes my family members more open. But with that warning, that pro tip, you can have this wherever you want, as long as you have enough time and space to be able to have it. The time allows the tension to transform into motivation, which makes them think it's their idea. So first, step A, apologize, then ask open-ended questions. This first step utilizes an evidence-based technique to elicit change called motivational interviewing, which I learned all about from Dr. K. Dr. K says that this is one of the only ways that is effective in helping you influence someone else's motivation to change. And it's the same technique that he uses with his patients. Now, my favorite part of this technique and the first step of apologizing and then asking open-ended questions is that it focuses on asking questions. And the thought behind this technique is that getting the person to talk about how they feel will encourage them to think about the disconnect between what they really want and their current behavior. Now, this is the opposite of pressure. Instead of thinking you know what someone should do or how they feel, you're taking a step back. You're asking open-ended questions because you're curious about where someone stands with their behavior. And the best way to start this conversation is with the apology. You could say something like, I just wanted to talk to you because I want to apologize for judging and pressuring you. And I realized I've never asked you how you feel about, and then whatever the issue is. It could be their health, never asked you how you feel about your grades, never asked you how you feel about your job search, being single, your living situation, your marriage, drinking, finances. Starting with an apology for your behavior, it sets the tone for a compassionate and supportive conversation. And then really listen. Lean in and try to learn about how this person feels about the issue. And whatever they say, just keep asking them open-ended questions that reflect back the answers that they just gave you. For my friend, it could be something like, how are you feeling about your health right now? According to Dr. K, the question invites someone to really experience the tension between how they truly feel about their health right now and the fact that they're not doing anything about it. As Dr. K says, each action that you take in life is individual. And in motivational interviewing, we help people understand this principle. What we want to do is encourage people to think about their own situation. And then, and this is the hard part, no matter what their answer to the first question is, you're not going to share your feelings about it. You're just going to repeat back their answer. So it sounds like you're feeling okay about your health? Now, Dr. K said, if they answer in a one-word response, like, I'm fine, okay, no problem. Just turn it into another open-ended question. What makes you feel okay about it? And then continue to just listen with curiosity and acceptance and respond only with open-ended questions that repeat back what they just said. It sounds like you're okay with your health. Is that because you've been this way for a long time? And here are some follow-up questions that Dr. K recommended that you can use for just about any topic. Well, how do you feel about that? So it sounds like you've gotten used to it. You're saying you're comfortable. Do you feel like it's going to take too much work to change? What feels hard about it? It must be incredibly frustrating to have me nagging you all the time and expecting more of you. Can you tell me a little bit about how long you felt that way? So I hear you saying that you don't need me to do anything? Or if they don't want to talk about it, you could say this. I hear you saying that you don't want to talk about it. Why don't you want to talk about it? And I need to remind you again. You're just asking questions. Your opinions, irrelevant. They're not for this conversation. And the second that you offer one, guess what happens? You just pressure the person, and it's going to kill the effectiveness of this technique. This technique has been proven in research and clinical settings to be very effective in getting people to admit to themselves that there's a big, big disconnect between what they actually want and their current behavior. And that's your goal. Your goal is to make them feel the tension between these two things. And I want to keep emphasizing something. Don't get discouraged if all you get is one-word answers, or if they keep trying to change the subject. Dr. K said the point of this technique is not to get them to tell you the truth. It's just to create discomfort that they're going to feel internally. Even if they act all stoic, they're going to feel it, and they may not express it to you. And that tension is critical, because it ultimately becomes the source of their motivation to change. Seeing the disconnect for themselves between what they want and their current actions is what pushes them to eventually change for themselves. Isn't that kind of cool? That's why you can't insert yourself. You're just a vehicle for getting them to experience this disconnect and that tension, but you're doing it in a way that's loving, compassionate, curious, apologetic. You just want to know how they feel about this topic. And this conversation is a critical component for awakening their motivation to change. You have to trust the science. So let them talk and let me listen. Then you move on to step B, back off and observe their behavior. Now that you've apologized for your behavior, you've asked them open-ended questions, you've heard what they've had to say, you have to back off and stop pressuring them. And one of the things that Dr. K said is it actually doesn't matter whether the conversation goes good or it goes bad. Doesn't matter if they say one word and then they don't answer the other questions and then they stand up and leave, or if they end up opening up and telling you all kinds of things. Simply having this kind of conversation creates the tension that does the work for you. And here's another thing Dr. K said. Do not expect them to launch into action. They're going to need to marinate on this. And this is why it's critical to back off, observe their behavior, and just focus on yourself. All you can do after you've asked the open-ended questions is observe the behavior and stop yourself from trying to change it. You got to walk the talk too. Model the change, make it look easy and fun, while you give them the freedom to figure out for themselves why this issue matters to them. You can't get mad at somebody else if they don't stop drinking when you're still pouring yourself a glass of wine. You can't be upset that somebody's not taking better care of themselves when you're not exercising either. You're an essential part of this dynamic. And modeling the change and making it look fun and easy, that's what the science says will unlock your influence. So if you see them change, amazing. If not, let them be. This isn't easy. This takes time, particularly with someone that you love. So you gotta back off, because they need enough space and enough time and enough distance from the conversation with you to feel like they're not gonna get a "I told you so." The space allows them to come to the idea for themselves. The time allows the tension to transform into the motivation, which makes it think it's their idea. Isn't this cool? I just love this. And that brings us to step C. Step C is celebrate. Celebrate progress while you continue to model change. Once you've asked the open-ended questions and you've backed off while continuing to model the behavior change, you have to celebrate any progress you see. Whenever they make the smallest move forward, celebrate it. This step comes from Dr. Sherritt's research, and she says that immediate positive compliments are a key driver to influencing positive behavior change. Here's an example that Dr. Sherritt gave us. If your spouse one day just heads down to the basement and hops on the Peloton, that's amazing. When they come back upstairs, give them a hug. Tell them you're proud of them. Dr. Sherritt says one of the most effective things that you can do is tell someone how attractive they look or give them a kiss on the cheek as soon as they're done working out or doing what you wanted them to do. It sounds cheesy, but it actually works. And I can tell you it does. I do this with our son, Oakley. He used to hate to study. We had constant fights about his homework and being more diligent as a student. And I followed this method. And you want to know what I did to celebrate? When he would finish his homework and come downstairs for a break, I would just silently high-five him in the kitchen, acknowledging, good job, buddy. It's simple. People want to feel good. According to the research, immediate positive rewards after someone does something hard boost their intrinsic motivation or desire to do it again. So when you acknowledge someone's effort or you tell them that you're proud of them or you give them a hug or a high five or a kiss on the cheek, it acts like fuel to keep them going. The hard thing gets fused with something really pleasurable, the reward that you're providing. And remember what Dr. K taught you about the human brain? We're wired to move toward what feels pleasurable, easy, and fun. So the more my friend compliments, hugs, and admires her husband post-workout, the faster her husband will connect working out with compliments, desire, and the fact that his wife thinks he looks damn good. Her positive attention becomes the pleasure he moves towards. And that's what's been missing this entire time. This isn't just common sense, it's neuroscience. And I want to say something about that because you probably wondered, why is this called the ABC loop? Because you're going to have to go through these three steps over and over again because you're going to screw up. You're going to get frustrated. There's going to be tension again because it's hard to back off and just let them. So if you need to apologize again, apologize and ask the open-ended questions again and then back off. Because the person that you care about needs enough space and time and distance from the conversation with you to feel like they're not going to get one of those, I told you so. They need space that allows them to come to the idea for themselves. Time is what allows the tension to transform into motivation. You learned that human beings are wired to move toward immediate positive benefits, the good things, the celebrations. And so often, we approach change with negative reinforcements, threats, pressure, fear, when the real success lies in feeling accepted, compassion, and showing support in a genuine and effective way. It makes sense, doesn't it? Of course it does. And remember, adults only do what they feel like doing. Your power is in your positive influence. Let them be. And let me use the science to inspire change. Let them helps you rise above the emotions and broken dynamics to strengthen your connection. While let me influences positive behavior change in the people that you love. They may change immediately. They may change in a week. They may change in several months. It may take years. Maybe they might never change. And that's okay too. Later in the book, you and I are going to discuss what happens when you've tried the ABC loop, you've backed off for 6 months, and there's still no positive change. When this happens, you'll need to decide if this is a deal breaker or not. It's not fair to stay in a relationship where you're chronically complaining about someone else. You hold the power, always, to make something better or to learn how to accept things as they are. The most important change in any relationship is the one that you control, yours. You change how you show up, you stop pressuring the person that you love, you become more loving. That's what makes you powerful. And in the process, if you do it right, you don't just reduce the friction between you and the person you care about, you also make the relationship much better along the way. So in the next section, you're going to learn an entirely new approach to supporting someone who's struggling using the Let Them Theory and the latest expert research. But first, let's summarize what you just learned. Yes, you're always going to want people in your life to change, but pressuring them only creates resistance to it. The Let Them Theory encourages you to accept other people as they are and focus on your own behavior and growth and inspire change through your positive influence instead of pressure. Let me just highlight once again the problem right now. The problem is pressure doesn't create change. It creates resistance to it. And you're acting with the best of intentions, but it gets you the worst result. Every time you pressure someone, it pushes them away. You're not only straining your relationship, you're fighting against the wiring inside of someone's body and brain. That's the problem. And you think the tension and frustration are due to the fact that the other person won't do as you wish. You're wrong. The tension, disconnection, and frustration are being created by your pressure. Here's the truth you need to accept. Adults only change when they feel like changing. Human beings have a hardwired survival instinct to be in control of every aspect of their life. Anytime someone feels like they're being forced to do something, they will fight back, and you're going to find yourself locked in a battle for control. What all human beings want is to feel acceptance and love. They need to be in control of their own thoughts, actions, and decisions. And by using the ABC loop to set up a conversation where you apologize, ask open-ended questions, model behavior change, and celebrate progress, you use your power to influence change in other people. Now, the key piece of this is creating the space for someone else to believe the change is their idea, not yours. When you say let them, you're accepting other people as they are. You remove the tension and pressure and let them have control over the way they live their life. When you say, let me, you use neuroscience to your advantage and unlock the power of your influence to motivate someone else to change. Let adults be adults and let your influence inspire them to change. Now that you've learned all about the science of motivation, and you have embraced the fact that adults only change when they feel like changing, you and I are ready to go deeper and build on this foundation. It's time for you and me to talk about the situations in life where you're trying to support someone who is struggling with something very serious. And I'm just going to come right out and say it. This is not a fun topic. The research and what the world-renowned experts have to say about these situations can feel very cold. But based on the science, what we're about to dig into is how you're going to use the Let Them Theory to support someone when the situation is very difficult, when it's tiring, and you would do absolutely anything to see somebody get better.